This morning we are going to be in Genesis chapter 2, so if you would want to turn there. And as we get to this passage this morning, I love this passage, but it takes me back to how sovereign my God is, how organized my God is. I was talking to somebody this past week, and they were talking about the way the human body is designed and put together. That's no accident. The way our God formed from the dust of the ground, He formed us and made us it's hard for us to even understand. And to know that a God of all creation has a plan for you and me. Now we know the passage in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And we've all heard that, and we know that, and we believe that. But how many of you really stop to think that the God of all creation, before you were born, before you were formed, before man was formed, He had a plan set in motion. And you are not only a part of that plan, He wants to use you in that plan. Now, for most of us, we can understand that God has a plan. We will give Him that. But man, when I look at my life, when I look at who I am, who I used to be, and I know that I am so broken, that God has a plan, an ultimate will, and He wants to use me. He wants to use us to complete that will, to complete that plan. He's always had that plan, and that plan is like God. It's immutable. It never changes. Sometimes we do things that we think change God's plan, but God is sovereign. His plans don't change. His love doesn't change. His mercy doesn't change. His grace doesn't change. We're going to look at this passage this morning, and we're going to start in verse 15. And I know that says all the way to 25, but I'm lucky to get through two or three verses, so we'll shorten that a little bit. Verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You for Your word. God, we try to understand, we try to think about how You have a plan that includes us. Because You are holy and we are broken. But You love us and You desire to use us. Lord, I thank You for that. I pray that today You would take this passage and Your Spirit would move among us, that Your Word would become alive to us, that we would understand, that You'd give us clarity, You'd give us discernment as You speak to each one of us, Lord, today. May we truly know that You are our God. We thank You and we praise You for this time. In Your name we pray. Amen. The plan He had for Adam and Eve was such an amazing plan. And it's the same plan He has for you. When you got up this morning, I'm probably pretty sure that you didn't think, okay, the plan that God had for Adam and Eve, He's got for you. You probably didn't think that. I didn't really think that other than the fact that I was studying this message and knowing that it's true. But I still didn't get up thinking, okay, I'm a part of God's plan today. But if we look at these few verses that we read, it says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden." And God put him exactly where He wanted him. Stop and think. God had created the whole world. He had created everything. And He takes and He creates man. And he makes this garden and He puts him in this garden. He didn't put him on the beach. Because when I sat on the beach, I just watched the waves. He didn't put him on Mount Everest. Because that just doesn't suit us. He didn't put him outside the garden yet. He put him in the garden. He put him exactly where he wanted him. He put him exactly where he wanted him. But even in putting him where he wanted him, he put him in a place that he could flourish. He put him in a place that everything could go right. But then he also put him in that same place knowing that he could fail. I want you to stop and think just a minute. God has put you exactly where he wants you. Well, it's just a happenstance that my wife has moved here because she was from Colorado. She was actually from everywhere, but she was from Colorado, came to college, and I went to college, and we met and got married. And so somebody might say, well, it's just happenstance that she ended up in Stockton because of choices. No, God put her in Stockton. God put you in Stockton. Even if you're just here visiting, God put you here for a purpose for the day. Well, I'm just here because this is where my parents go. I'm just here because this is where I could find a job. We can look at it any way we want to. But God puts you exactly where He wants you. And until you acknowledge that, you're going to think it's all about you. Because when I went to live in Oklahoma for a while, I went down there because I wanted to. But I lived with a roommate that I could share the gospel with. And then when I went to college, I could have went because I was playing baseball. But God said, I've got somebody that's going to complete you here at this college. I've got stuff I want to teach you. And so it wasn't an accident. And it wasn't, even though my choice was there, God was still sovereign. Too many times we think we give ourselves way too much power. We think that we can make a choice and that's going to take the sovereignty away from God. No, it's not. God is sovereign, but He gives you that choice. He gave Adam and Eve that choice to either flourish in the garden or fail in the garden. He's put you in a place, and I guarantee you He's put you where you can flourish. Now, you may think, I just don't see it. And it's the end of the year, and I got less money than I had at the beginning. Haven't you thought about paying taxes? You can look at it however you want, and you can think, man, I am not flourishing. But if you have a relationship with God, He has given you the opportunity to flourish. But along with that, we know we live in a world, a sinful, dark, sometimes disgusting world, that we choose like they did and we fail. Because if we were put in a padded room where there was no opportunity to fail, then is that life? He gives us that opportunity to choose Him. And when we don't choose Him, we fail. So God has placed us right where He wants us. And you can go check Scripture. Acts 17:26 says He has determined the times and the exact places where we should live. He has put you right where He wants you. And until I acknowledge that, until you acknowledge that, it's all about us. The second thing He does with Adam and Eve, after placing them in the garden, He says, I put you there to tend and to keep it. I put you there to go to work. That's what He told him. Now, if you and I, or at least I'm going to say I'm not going to blame it on you. But if I was there, I said, God, I really didn't apply for this. I am not a farmer. I am not a person that prunes trees. I don't know anything about that stuff. I would have come up with every reason. But He says, He put him there to work the garden, to tend it and to keep it, to take care of it. And it was work. And when it's work, it's not supposed to be easy. So many times we think as Christians, God should just put out that yellow brick road and everything's fine. We'll never face any difficulties. We'll never have any hardships. That's not what He says. He doesn't say, Adam, I'm going to put you in that garden and you're just going to sit there and when the fruit drops off the tree, you eat it. He didn't do that. He said, I'm putting you there with a job. Your job is to take care of this. And it's work. Where He's placed you, it's work. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily the work that you do if you're a mechanic or a teacher or a doctor or a nurse or whatever your job is. That's not the work I'm talking about. The work I'm talking about is serving Him. That's not easy. Because too many times, if I'm the only one in the garden, it's really easy for me to, man, it's late in the day, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to relax. Because I don't have somebody walking around the garden saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that before you sit down and go over there. No. To serve Him really doesn't have anything to do with our surroundings. Now, let me say that again because you're going to think, oh, it's got to have something to do with our surroundings. If you're going to serve Him, it's about your heart. And your heart will affect your surroundings. But in serving Him, it has to come from the heart. Adam not only didn't apply for that job, but you notice he didn't refuse it either. How many times has God told you and me to do something? Hey, I've got something for you to do. And you're like, no, that would be better if Jennifer did that. That would be better if Peggy did that. We want to say, God, I didn't apply for this job. I didn't apply to go and talk to somebody about Jesus because I'm not a one-on-one person. I am not that type of person that I don't know enough. I've not studied the Bible enough, and they're going to ask me a question that I'm not going to know the answer to. So God, find somebody else. I'm going to reject this job. You know, we can narrow it down to our church or to any church. And we have a committee that goes around each year and tries to find somebody to teach Sunday school and to do this and to do that, to do the different jobs that are going on in the church. And if you've ever been on that committee, sometimes it seems like people run when they see you coming. It's like, oh, here he comes again. He's going to ask me if I'll teach Sunday school or he's going to ask me if I'll do this. Man, some people say, hey, would you come play the piano? No, that's not up to me. No. Would you come sing a special music? No. Would you teach? Would you be in the nursery? No, I can't handle the smell. I can't do that. We come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't do what God calls us to do. And yes, some of us are gifted to do things that others can't, that are not gifted to do. God gives us each specific gifts. But we give ourselves excuses. Adam was to tend the garden. The job that God has given us is to follow Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him, to seek to do His will, not ours. Adam, do you think he was in the garden and God said, tend these trees? And he's like, no, I'm going to go over here and polish these rocks. No. He had a specific job for him to do, and it wasn't going to be easy. But as Christians, when you accepted Christ, you filled out that application to say, I will do what you tell me to do. When you said, Jesus Christ, I want you to come into my heart, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to be the Lord of my life. You signed the dotted line. And you made Him the Lord of your life. And the Lord is the boss. He's the one that decides what you do. If you are a teacher, then it trickles down through the administration of what your job is. You don't just decide, well, I think I'm going to just take them all to the beach this week. You don't get to decide that because your boss is the one that tells you what to do. And when Jesus Christ is your boss, He has the right to tell you what to do, and you do not have the right to tell Him no. But how many of us do? He not only put them in the garden, He not only had a place for them, He not only had a job for them to do that was going to be work, but then He said, God commanded them, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat. God is going to give Adam everything he needed. Man, if you're hungry, you can eat of any tree in the garden but that one. All these other trees are good for food. They're right there for you to have. You're not going to have to walk 50 miles out of the garden to go get something to eat. Everything that I'm setting before you is good for you, is what He told him. Except that one. And the same way that God supplied his needs, the plan hasn't changed. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Man, if He's put you in a place and He's given you something to do, He will provide everything you need to do that. Everything you need. And I used to think it's what I wanted. Well, God didn't give me what I wanted. That's not what it says. It says, I'll supply your every need if you seek me first. So many times I know God's going to supply my needs, so I'll just go my own way. I'll just do my own thing. And God promises in Philippians 4:19 that He's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. And He owns cattle on a thousand hills, the Bible says. It means He owns everything. So He can supply all my needs. But it's got to be about Him. It's got to be about seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. It can't be about Steve and me expect him to supply all my needs. It can't be about First Southern Baptist Stockton and us expect him to supply our needs. It's got to be about Him and Him alone. And when we get that out of order, we mess up. We have to focus on Him. So we look at Adam and Eve as they're placed in this garden. And they're given something to do, a job. But all their needs are supplied. Here's the part people don't like. Here's the part where people probably get mad at me, but I'm just reading the book. He says, you can eat of any tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die. Understand this. God gave them rules. He put them where He wanted them. He gave them something to do. He supplied everything that they needed. And then He said, but I've got rules. And if you break the rules, you die. Seems kind of harsh. But they were told up front. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. Not you might. Not it could happen. He said, you break my rule, you die. God gave them instructions. And he gave him penalties for those instructions. And I'm just wondering, because I've raised children, those of you who raised children are going to understand this. I wonder if there was, well, I'm really hungry and nothing else looked good. I had ate all that those other trees forever. I just thought it would be something new. Or, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, it's surely okay. Well, she did it, so I thought it'd be okay. Yeah, she told me to. That's right. And that's the thing, we are the same way. Now, I can blame it, or I can recall my kids saying, well, everybody else did it. Or, I don't see how it hurt anybody else. But as adults, that's where they get it. Because we're the same way. I love Andy Griffith. Opie, the way he tries to teach him stuff. Opie just mimics him. He sees that Opie's wrong, and then he realizes, oh, I know where you got that. When I see and I look back on something that my kids may have done, and then I really stop and I look at me and I say, well, I see why they did it. Because they were following a faulty role model. But there was no excuse that Adam could come up with to say, I didn't do what you told me not to do. And for us today, we look at this and God has given us the same rules to live by. And yeah, it's not a tree. It's not in the middle of the garden. It's not of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's right here. This is where people are going to get upset. That's too bad. Because today, when you read this Bible, you can tell, you know that God said, this is the rule, you break it, you die. When God says, this is sin, and the wages of sin is death, why do we change what sin is? Why don't we acknowledge what sin is? I'm not God. I hear people, I read that all the time, and they say, well, you're not God, so you can't decide what sin is. I don't have to. Praise the Lord. I don't have to decide what sin is because it's written right here. Well, that's kind of gray because it doesn't mention that here specifically. Man, you walk around it, you talk around it all you want to do, but when you stand before God one day, He's going to say, this was my law. You broke it. You deserve the sin. You deserve the penalty for that sin. I know that the same thing that He told Adam and Eve, there's rules for breaking them, there's consequences. It's still the same. He still has a place for you. He still has a job for you. He's still going to provide for you, but He still has rules and that you're going to pay consequences when you break those rules. That's nothing new from the Garden of Eden until today. And it's never going to change. Not one thing in God's Word is going to change. Our minds change. Our hearts change. But God's Word never changes. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. The Bible is the truth. Accept it or not. Well, I don't believe that verse. I don't believe that. I believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. It's true. That's what it comes down to. Along with everything else that we've talked about this morning that hasn't changed. There's a couple other things that haven't changed. I didn't read this, but you can go into chapter 3 and it says, now the serpent. We all know what happened then. They had an enemy. You and I have that same enemy today. We have that same enemy today. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He has principalities. He has powers. He has rulers of darkness. He has spiritual hosts of wickedness that are constantly firing fiery darts at you to destroy you. You have the same serpent against you today. He's just disguised. He may be disguised as your best friend. He may be disguised as your boss. He may be disguised as a teammate. But you have an enemy. And he's going to do everything he can to derail you from the plan of God. He is still the father of lies. And that's the lie that says, well, this book is not for us today. That's a lie. God's plan doesn't end with your location, the work he's given you, and the supplies you need, and the rules he gave you. I love this. Turn over into chapter 3, verse 21. We'll wrap up with this last point. Verse 21, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin to clothe them. And they had messed up, and when they ate of that knowledge, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, their eyesight was open, and they realized that they were naked, and they realized that they had sinned against God, and they got the punishments they were promised. They didn't suffer a physical death at that point, but they began to die. And even though they broke that law, God made a cover for their sins. They tried to do it themselves. They tried to cover themselves up with leaves. But God said there's only one thing that can cover you. And he makes it out of animal skin. And so some animal became that first sacrifice. That God shed that animal's blood to take its skin to cover for Adam and Eve's sin. Man, if anything in the Bible doesn't point to Jesus Christ, I don't know what does. Because their sin was covered up by a sacrifice of blood to make atonement for their sin. Which would point to the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross to cover up for my sin. To make atonement for my sin. Nothing else has changed. He still has a plan. And it's a good thing because that enemy that we still have, I mess up and I stumble all the time. And I need to ask for forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. We need to understand that sacrifice through a sovereign God was planned before the world began. It wasn't plan B. That was His love. That was His sacrifice to cover our sins. Now, as we close up with this, as a Christian, you're listening to this message. Oh, it wrapped up with the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. Well, I've already accepted Christ. Good. I am so glad. But so many Christians, yeah, I'll accept where God has put me. I will know that God has a job for me. I will know that God will provide for me. God has given you rules. You may have accepted Christ as your personal Savior and He's forgiven you and you have salvation, but that doesn't mean you can ignore the rules now. That doesn't mean you can go on and do whatever you want because I'm under grace. No. You have to live as Jesus would live. And if you think you can go ahead and do anything you want, then it's all about you. And if it's all about you, then you've got your pages out of order. doesn't mean you don't have rules to follow. But when you mess up, don't just say, well, back then I accepted Christ and He's forgiven me. Go to Him every time. Well, Pastor, if I went to Him every time I sinned, I'd be on my knees all the time. Well, good. That's where we need to be. Because if we don't acknowledge our sin, and we walk around in it, then we're hypocrites. And of all the people in the Bible that Jesus was upset with, that was the hypocrites. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then look at the plan He had for you that started all the way back then. And He ushered it through time as we know it because He loved you. That first sacrifice pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ because He loved you. That's what it's about. So this week, go out and know you're where you're supposed to be. If you don't feel like you're where you're supposed to be, pray about it and go where He tells you. Know that He's going to supply it for you. Know that He's going to give you something to do. Know that there are rules. Know you've got an enemy, but know that you've got a Savior. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your plan that You have for us. God, so many times I feel so unworthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know I am, but I know it's because You love me. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, I just pray right now that You would move among us, that we would understand that it's all about You, Your will, and Your plan. Father God, may we bring You glory and honor in everything we do. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.